Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Eat Sleep Podcast Repeat. My name is Dave Taylor. Thanks for checking us out today. We're a wrestling podcast out of Virginia for a couple of rock stations for FM 99 and 106.9 to Fox. And we're all over on the internet and also various podcast apps. You can find us on searching ESPR Wrestling. Wait a minute. What is this? Who are you?
Wish I had some kind of like sound effect I could play. Or something like where it just sounds like booming footsteps coming in or something.
Well, they're not as booming as it used to be.
No, not as much. That's true. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Sean. Sean Hood from FM 99. I used to, you know, do this show with Dave once upon a time. And, yeah, unfortunately, working two jobs means you have to take a step back from some things, so I haven't been able to be available as much. But couldn't miss out on WrestleMania.
You know, you get big returns WrestleMania season, so here we are. Sean going to help us preview WrestleMania today, and I appreciate that, as WrestleMania 40 is a big show, and we need to go back and forth on a lot of this because we haven't talked wrestling a whole lot with each other, even though we see each other every day. But
yeah, we're doing this pesky thing called work. We're usually doing things.
A couple places you can find us on the web, fm99.com and 1069fox.com, under the media tab, Facebook and Twitter, ESPR99. Also, like I said, various podcast apps to search ESPR Wrestling, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Apple. And you can just search us. Just go to Google and type in ESPR Wrestling will come up. Some recent episodes, we've had Becky Lynch on last week talking about her book.
That's pretty great.
Sean Durkin, who wrote and directed The Iron Claw.
Oh, nice. I just watched The Iron Claw a week ago.
And yeah, it's now out in digital and Blu-ray and everything.
So, you know, I'd heard such good things about it. And I knew the subject matter.
Yeah.
You know, the Von Erich family, if you're not familiar with it, that's what it's about. And before, like when it was available on streaming, I hadn't seen it in theaters, even though I wanted to. And I knew I was going to watch it. I did something I never do. I just bought the movie without ever having seen it.
Wow.
And so I had it, and I just had to find the time to watch it. Finally watched it last week. Fantastic. Boy, let me tell you, you don't even recognize Zac Efron.
It took me a moment to realize what Von Erich is like. Oh, wait, that's Zac. Because that dude is buff.
Oh, he's huge in it. And, you know, he put on so much mass. And clearly a lot of reverence went into the story and the love of people who grew up in that industry, which I appreciated. It's a very well-made movie. If you liked The Wrestler, which is fictional, but this one's based on a true story.
Yeah.
Sad story.
Yeah. If you're familiar with the Von Erichs, I grew up watching them.
Right.
In the end of World Class Championship Wrestling days, and when Kerry went to WWF and everything.
Right.
It's like every couple of months, like this happened with the family.
Dude, I had no clue until this. I had no clue that Kerry was wrestling with a fake foot.
Yeah.
Clue. And now I go back and watch the stuff that he did, and I'm like, man, he was pretty good for a guy with a fake foot. That's pretty, because back, you know, the 80s, early 80s, there wasn't a lot of, I don't want to say like there wasn't any, but there was like, the level of prosthetics and everything weren't as advanced as they are now.
Yeah.
And so just the idea that he learned to use this thing, and again, I was just very impressed. But either way, again, if you like those kinds of movies, by all means, go ahead and watch it. Just be prepared. It is sad.
Yeah, have a box of tissues ready.
Yes.
All right, so transitioning. It is WrestleMania weekend. It is our favorite weekend of the year.
Yeah. This is our holiday.
It is. I mean, there's nothing like WrestleMania week, and holy crap, the build this year has been amazing. Much better than last year. And last year was, I thought, good, but
yeah, this is far and away some of the best hype for WrestleMania they've had in years.
Yeah.
I can't remember being more psyched about a WrestleMania overall than this one since like WrestleMania 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that might've been the last one I was this hyped about. Yeah. Cause I've been eagerly anticipating WrestleMania approaching for weeks now. So very excited that we're finally there.
Yeah. We will preview that in just a moment. But first, I guess I want to call it, we got the Hall of Fame night.
Friday night.
Paul Heyman headlining. You know, they changed it up over the last couple of years because you say it gets as many names in there as they can. They don't need to do that anymore. I think the format is much better because now you can stretch out the big names over years.
Yeah. And I mean, there's still some very deserving people. I know it's Paul Heyman, it's Bull Nakano, absolutely deserves to be in.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with Bull Nakano, honestly, Bull was ahead of her time. She'd have been great in like when what was the TNA when the Knockouts division was really taken off. Like,
yeah.
That was, she would have fit in there great. New Japan and Shimmer and all these different companies that are like giving a lot of attention to the women wrestlers, I think would have been able to really spotlight her well now that it's more featured women's wrestling.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, now when we've got women's wrestling just in several different companies, that gets a lot of attention. Like, this would have been this would have been great for Bull Nakano, but yeah, really none of this would be here without people like Bull. So
yeah, and Asuka was, you know, that was like somebody heavily influenced,
yes, yeah,
by that, and yes, yeah, so good for her. You got the U.S. Express going in,
yep.
You know, which is, you know, and if you're not familiar, the first WrestleMania that was like their era, so there's not a lot of footage around that time. That's when
right
everything was kind of going on. You have
is that, and now I'm gonna embarrass myself here. U.S. Express, Rotunda.
Yeah, Mike Rotunda.
And Wyndham, right?
Yeah, and Barry Wyndham.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just want to make sure I had it right in my head that was the right team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, not a lot of footage of those guys.
No.
I'll be honest, I didn't know they were a team. I didn't know that was a thing until they made the announcement. I was like, whoa, wait, what? Went back and watched it. And actually, you know, I got to be honest, if you see Rotunda outside of the IRS gimmick, he did a lot of good work.
Yeah.
He just, it's just everybody remembers him for IRS, which is corny and goofy and fun and blah, 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 blah. But really, I don't think it's some of his better in-ring work and everything. I think that you can find other examples.
Yeah, it was a different era. It was great in NWA because he left for a while. That's
right.
And then Barry, you know, came and went a couple of times in WWF. Two-time champions, first WrestleMania match.
Barry Windham was one of those guys on my most underappreciated wrestlers,
yeah,
of all time.
Yeah.
I think Barry Windham is one of those guys, and he had his own issues and different stuff that held him back a little bit. But he's one of those guys that I'm like, man, Barry Windham, even as a guy who a lot of his career was before I was even watching wrestling or before I could understand what I was seeing.
Yeah.
I, watching it back when I was older, loved him, dude. He's captivating. I loved watching Barry Windham. He's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Good matches in NWA, especially when the guys left. And then Thunderbolt Patterson, who mm-hmm. Laid the groundwork for a lot of wrestlers and a promo guy.
Right.
Yeah, that could talk. You know, so I'd be curious because he's still alive. And shocked to know that, and just didn't know because it's a name you haven't heard of in a long time. And
yeah,
you know, so I'd be curious to how, you know, his speech is going to go, because these were guys that back in the air were influential talkers and everything else that people wanted to see either, you know, kick some butt or get their butt kicked.
Right. And then, you know, we learned the other day that Paul Heyman's going to be inducted by Roman Reigns, which is fitting.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. He's been tight with that family for years and years and years because everybody's like, oh, it should have been Brock Lesnar, or there's other people saying it should have been like Rob Van Dam, or it should have been, you know, somebody like that that you associate with Heyman. I get that. But I don't think people do like, it's not just a gimmick on TV. He has literally been tight with that family for a very long time.
Yeah.
So it's not shocking that they'd be involved.
Yeah, that was something he brought up when we interviewed him a couple years ago.
Yes.
You know, that because we asked about the whole relationship with Roman Reigns, and then he mentioned that, you know, his relationship with that family goes back, yeah, many, many decades.
Yes, which, by the way, that episode still exists. You can go listen to it in the archives if you would like to. But it's so cool. And I think I saw something about The Rock's grandma?
Being
inducted. It was the wife of High Chief Peter Maivia.
I believe so.
I think so. I didn't mean to throw you a curveball all of a sudden because I saw that in passing. I actually hadn't seen it officially.
Yeah, Maivia.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go.
Yeah. So that's his
grandmother.
I
guess other people. People may not be aware of this. Apparently, she Chief Peter Maivia. I mean, everybody remembers him as a wrestler and everything. His wife apparently. Huge into like she was a big deal for like booking and like running stuff
in Hawaii. I think was a big part of that.
Yeah, which is a big deal. And I mean, at that time, to be a woman and doing that, so it's a big deal. Yeah.
And you also got Muhammad Ali going in,
of course, the celebrity wing
from WrestleMania 1 and in the 70s because he had the match against Gorilla Monsoon.
Oh, that's right. Didn't he also not in WWE, but didn't he also have a match with?
Is it Giant Baba or
no?
Or
it was Antonio Inoki.
I believe so. I believe that was the case. Yeah.
And it ended up being a kind of a cluster because there was all these rules, you know, because they were like, well, they told Inoki like you can't grapple him, you can't do this, you can't do that. So basically, you're telling me as a wrestler, I got a box with a boxer,
yeah.
And he refused. And so what he did was he laid on the map and just did like up kicks at him the whole time.
Yeah.
Which, but either way, Muhammad Ali makes sense as a celebrity wing inductee.
Absolutely. All right. So we get to Saturday, Stand and Deliver, NXT's big show.
Yeah, Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, we'll run through the card quickly on this. We got seven matches.
By the way, Stand and Deliver, just a real note, if you haven't been watching it, now's a great time to be watching NXT because... Yeah. First of all, they're overloaded with talent.
Yeah.
And secondly, some compelling stories. Third, I don't know if there's another promotion that I've seen in recent memory that has so many young people really breaking out. From, you know, you got Trick Williams, Obafemi is really breaking out.
Yeah.
Of course, Carmelo Hayes, but he's been building up for a little while now. But Trick Williams, I mean, he was a dude that everybody thought of as, like, green. And he has taken the ball and run with it every time they have given it to him.
I look at these guys as kind of like a Street Profit thing where it's like, okay, they're good as a team. And then when you see Montel, you know, and those guys kind of break out. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like first you didn't take them seriously. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Well, and the advantage here is they can do this story now in NXT.
Yeah.
They can bring them up to the roster as individuals when they're ready for the main roster, which I think they both are, but that's not the point. And then later on when they're ready to bring them back together, to reinvent them, then you can kind of play on that history from NXT, and it's this long running story then, which is great.
Yeah, and that has been good. Yeah, with the whole with the title and everything, and those guys, and then now they finally split up.
Yeah,
you saw it coming, but like you're just kind of waiting on.
Oh yeah,
when those
gonna
drop? So we got one pre-show match: Sean Spears taking on Joe Gacy. Sean's back. Nice return. There's no reason for him to go down here, obviously.
No, I think he wins. I don't know what they're doing with Joe Gacy. When they gave up on the, what was the name of their group? I can't remember now.
Schism.
Schism, yeah. When they gave up on the Schism, I had hope that, because he kind of seemed like he was leaning back into his indie character, which is a little more demented and like just crazy, like in the ring. But now they're going for like the goofy crazy, which is okay. But I don't take him seriously, you know?
Yeah.
So Sean Spears, like you said, he just came back. I think he needs the win more than goofy Joe Gacy right now until they really figure out what they're doing with him.
Yeah. We got a six-woman tag match. Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, Kalani Jordan, JC, taking out JC Jane, Kiana James, and Izzy Dame.
I mean, realistically, I think it's going to be the baby faces, Thea Hale and Fallon Henley oh, my gosh. Kalani Jordan, you just said it.
Kalani Jordan, yes.
They seem to be high on all three of them. And they've had the more, I guess they've been fighting from underneath for most of this.
Yeah.
So I think Stand and Deliver is the right time for them to get their big moment.
Yeah, should happen there. We just talked about Carmelo Hayes taking out Trick Williams here. This match probably closer to the end of the night.
I was going to say this might be the main event.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to have the crowd. And this is no knock against the title match, but... The crowd is just not going to be as invested in the title match as they are in this match. I think Carmelo and Trick will close the night, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Either way, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, they're going to knock the heck out of each other.
Oh, it's going to be.
I mean, this is probably one of the biggest crowd matches in NXT in a long time.
Yeah, in a long time, in a long, long time. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to see what these two can do when they're given the ball together in a match. And he brought it up. Trick brought it up the other day on NXT. As a matter of fact, I think he said they're going to main event. But the way WWE is, that could be three different main events on the card. But he said, for the first time ever, two African American men headlining a PLE.
Yeah.
WrestleMania weekend. He goes, first time this ever happened. And he goes, and I hate that it's, and his promo was great because he was like, he was basically saying like, he's so happy about that, but at the same time torn because it's now because they hate each other and they're out for blood. And it's like, he wishes they could be on the same side going into this monumental moment.
And I'm trying to figure out, because Trick's former NXT North American champion. He won the Man's Iron Survivor at the end of last year as well. Right. Which
and had
is
some
a crazy
really
match.
Good matches with Ilya.
Yeah.
Who, again, they keep putting Trick in there, and the dude keeps delivering. It's just amazing to watch happen time after time.
And the Carmelo we've been, seeing glimpses of in WWF and on SmackDown and everything. And so I'm kind of torn. I mean, I lean more towards Trick because he's the guy that needs it more in this situation.
Trick's the hot hand,
but
right
he
now.
Is yeah. Yeah, it's just blown up since the turn.
And I feel like Carmelo can't do much else in NXT. He's been the champion. He's been the North American champion. He's done war games. He's done all sorts of stuff. I feel like it's time to get him and another guy we'll talk about here in a little bit, Bron Breakker, off NXT and onto the main roster full time because they're ready.
Yeah.
So for me, the way that would make sense is Trick Williams wins. He gets the win and kind of becomes the default face of NXT. Carmelo Hayes can move on to the main roster.
Yeah, he can graduate, if you will, for that. And speaking of Bron Breakker, we got the big tag team championship match, him and Baron Corbin, defending their title against Axiom and Nathan Frazier. And maybe we get the switch here. I mean,
maybe. I don't think we will, but maybe. Because I'm just, as we're going through this, I'm like, it seems like a babyface heavy show. And I could feel like that one, Nathan Frazier and Axiom are both talented dudes and they're entertaining. But there's not a lot behind them as far as story or character development right now.
Yeah.
So, again, you've got a hot hand in Braun and Baron Corbin, who have become the odd couple of the year that nobody saw coming.
What a renaissance for Baron Corbin.
Dude,
it's been
great. This whole sending people back to NXT to, you know, to use an expression that other people use, you know, learn a new hold or something like that and kind of refigure things out has been great. It worked for Finn Balor. It's worked for Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
They have Natalya doing a little bit of this now. And I know there's other ones I can't think of at the moment. Well, Becky Lynch did it.
Lynch,
I mean, and it worked good for it worked well there too.
Yeah, good for Tiffany
this
Stratton.
This is a great uses, and it makes NXT feel more important by association.
Yeah.
With these stars showing up and having these longer runs there. But man, it's just been such a renaissance for Baron Corbin, and I think I'm gonna stick with him and Bron Breakker walking out with the championships.
All right. We got the North American Championship match, the triple threat match, Obafemi, Dijak, and Josh Briggs.
Yeah, okay, so Obafemi, I can't see him taking the title off him yet.
Yeah.
It's too early. He's dominant as hell. There's no reason. Why ruin that now? And I can't stand when you have somebody who's dominant and you want to see somebody finally beat them. I can't stand it when it's in a multi-man match.
Because it doesn't really, to me, settle anything.
It doesn't, it doesn't pass all the heat they generated effectively because that needs to be one-on-one. You know, that's the way it's got to end up because it's like, you know, to just kind of use an example from WrestleMania, people talked about the potential of doing Roman versus Rock versus Cody. And they're like, and then that's how Cody wins. And I'm like, no, that would have been one of the worst options.
Yeah, it does not
help. Because all the heat that they've built up for 3 years with Roman Reigns would not have transferred to Cody if the Rock is involved as far as being in the match and, you know, like he pins Rock, you know? What good does that do? You know, or if The Rock helps him win while they're in this multi-man match. One-on-one, I know there will be shenanigans in that match. You know, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got distracted. But yeah, Obafemi retaining.
Yeah, probably defending Josh is my guess.
That Dijak's another guy. Get him on the main roster.
Yeah.
He's ready. You've got two other big guys right there that can take that role. Let him get to the main roster.
Singles match, NXT Women's Championship match, Lyra Valkyra. I know I'm going to butcher that.
Lyra Valkyria.
Yeah, Valkyria. Taking on Roxanne Perez. Roxanne's another one that is ready for...
She is ready, but I think they're going to move the title back to her.
Yeah.
Lyra has done fine, but she's not connecting with audiences like that you'd like her to as the champion, the face.
Well, you know, and I thought, too, with like, you know, because her beating Becky and everything, you would think you would have all this. But, yeah.
She just doesn't have a character. What's her character? That's the problem. You can't define what her character is. Like, she's happy to be here, and she's really talented, and she's going to work hard. It's a white meat baby face. It's not. People don't latch on to that. You got to give them a reason to care, something to invest in. Roxanne has been one of the surprises of this whole thing because she's been doing great as a heel, which I never saw coming.
Yeah,
she's been great.
I didn't expect that when you coming back and with a change, and I did not see that in the character. I mean, because that's something because you mentioned, you know, with the champions, because before Becky, I mean, Tiffany Stratton, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And where that's become.
Yeah, and I mean, she's another one took off fast.
With a very developed, and I didn't like the character at first.
Right.
I just thought it was like, and I, maybe that's what they're going for, because with the dog and everything else.
She'd better thank Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie for making Barbie.
Yeah.
Because boy, did that benefit her
when
that came out, because she was able to play up that whole idea when the movie came out. I really do think that genuinely benefited her. But she's been doing great. Good for her. Happy for her. But yeah, I think Roxanne Perez gets the title back.
I'll agree with you on that one, because it has been kind of flat. I mean, you beat Becky, you can get big
things.
Oh,
she has great matches.
But
she's just not. And people need to stop confusing. People need to stop confusing this. They do these shows where, you know, the people will come out and they're singing along to the song, or they're doing a chant or something like that during the song. Totally cool. That's awesome, you know. But it doesn't mean the character has resonated with the audience. It just means the song has. You know, because like Lyra Valkyria's intro, I can't remember how it goes, but the crowd will do some kind of whoop chant sort of thing through it because they like the song. The second she's done doing the entrance, they kind of sit on their hands. So, you know, she just hasn't connected. And I just don't think they found the right thing for her yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's time. That's what NXT's for.
They can work that. So this could be the main event if it's not Trick versus Carmelo. And that's for the NXT Championship. You want to do it like you used to do? We're going to do it three times today.
Oh, yeah. And now for the main event of the evening.
Can you read that from there?
Oh, I know who it is. It's Ilya Dragunov and Tony D'Angelo, the Don of NXT, Tony D'Angelo.
I don't see a title changing here. I don't know.
You know what's funny as you say that? I think I do see the title changing. I think they're going to shift it because they're putting a lot of effort behind the Tony D. Like, we've moved on from him being a tag team guy. We've moved it. We've added people to his little family. We've made this more involved and everything. And I'm sorry, how many times can I go to the Ilya Dragunov story where it's like, oh, he's unbreakable. You know, he's unstoppable. He's unbreakable. That works for a while. But eventually, something has to happen. Well, now, the advantage to somebody like Tony D is that, I mean, he's the Don of NXT. I hate to use this kind of sort of thing, but it's supposed to be a crime family. He could do something to screw Ilya out of the title. Another reason I think that it may not be the main event. Because I think if you get a bad finish there, we're going to want a better finish to send people home with.
I gotcha. Well, I see. I wonder with that because he does have the whole family. You know, are they going to set up a little table somewhere and they're going to be watching and all that? Because to me, it's more like the story is going to continue after this.
I could easily see that.
Because now it's like, you got through Tony, but you know, I got to fight this family, or we're going to do this. Or
see, I see something similar, but the opposite direction where Tony beats him. And then Ilya wants the title back, and now he's got to go through the family to get back at Tony. You know what I mean? Just because I don't know. I love Ilya. I think he's great. And he, for a guy who learned English and every once in a while he has a little trouble, but generally speaking, he cuts great promos. And even when he's trying to find the right words, he never loses the audience. He's so good at that. His intensity really carries over.
Well, and it helps that people, like, he's a guy that people you listen to. I mean, that's a huge difference because you're not, you know, I mean, sometimes when Roman's talking, but it's like.
I'll be honest with you. He really needs to thank Gunther because in NXT UK, they had a feud over the title there in NXT UK, and it was fantastic.
Some of the best matches we've ever seen.
And I really feel like that helped. And the NXT WWE audience start recognizing this guy's kind of a badass. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, Gunther has that ability with people. Really, the Gunther rub is a real thing. Yeah.
What was that? Was the match with the best ref bump, I think, of all time, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah, yes. I forgot about that. Oh, gosh. But, yeah, so I think I see Tony D winning the title.
All
right. Let me clarify. I think for sure Tony D wins if it's not the main event.
Okay.
If it is the main event, then I'm more in the air on how this is going to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's not the main event, I'm saying Tony D wins.
Okay, all right. I'll still stick with Ilya on this one.
Okay.
But we'll see. The Don of NXT, I mean, it would make sense if he's a champion. But
yes, it would. You're
maybe,
correct.
You know, does it happen now? Does it happen later? All right. Now we switch to night one of WrestleMania 40.
Yeah.
Holy cow, man. I've been watching this before WrestleMania 2, I feel
like. Right, I know. The first one was 1984. Here we are 40 years later.
Yeah, man. I remember, in 86 was coming up in that year in the WrestleMania. Like, what is this? And they're reading the results in the newspaper because, you know, there was no coverage.
The first WrestleMania I ever saw, like when it happened, oh, man. You know, because I was born in 85, so I was alive early enough for them. And, you know, my parents weren't into wrestling, so I didn't get to watch some of the earlier ones. The first one I watched when it happened, I think, was WrestleMania. Which one was the one they tried to make it like a Greek?
Oh, WrestleMania 9.
That's the one. It was terrible, but I was a kid and I loved it.
That's one of the worst ones.
Yeah, I was a kid and I loved it. later on, I would see some of the earlier ones, you know, on tape and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The kids, by the way, there used to be these things called VHSs. And that's what a lot of them were on.
Go to the store and rent. That's how I saw WrestleMania 3.
Dude, the number of times I watched, was it WrestleMania 12? Is that Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart?
Yeah.
Yeah, the number of times I watched that one, I ruined that tape.
Dream.
I ruined that tape, dude. I loved it. I loved it.
All right, we're going to blow through these. So we got seven matches for night one.
Okay.
We got six for night two. It will start. This is there's various sorts of sites that have predicted orders. Meltzer had his.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. Bleacher Report had theirs. We thought Triple H had one.
I thought for sure I'd seen one posted somewhere.
Yeah.
of the match order. And I thought for sure.
And somebody else had a sheet with like info on it, which kind of matches up with what the matches would be. So we'll run through this, but I think everybody's in agreement that the first match for the Women's World Championship match, Rhea Ripley defending her title against Becky Lynch, which is a heck of an opener.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. You crowd's going to be hot for them.
You know, it's weird, because like, you used to not want to open WrestleMania or whatever. And holy crap,
it's
not
weird, isn't it? Now that's like almost a really good spot.
Yeah.
Because it this is a plus and a minus here, because now people, old-time fans or old-time people will argue that this is a problem because WrestleMania is selling the show, not the matches, not the people that are there. It's WrestleMania is selling the show. And so now people don't mind as much being the first match because the whole thing's a spectacle and we're going to start it off and blah, 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 which I think works for this.
Yeah, this is a main event in any other show.
Yes. Well, and this is why they'll tell you there's like five main events tonight or something like that because, yeah, like you said, any night of the week.
The build for this has been fun. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out because Liv Morgan's not on the card. Is she going to get involved in this match?
Good.
Is it going to be clean? Or are we going to see her after the match challenging the winner?
I will say if it's the very first match of the night, they better not have a screwy finish.
Yeah.
You need a normal finish. Now, I mean, obviously Rhea Ripley Judgment Day, they might get involved somehow, but I could easily see Dom showing his dumb face and getting not even really doing anything so much as it just distracts Becky for half a second. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, Judgment Day has some issues again that they tease every once in a while, and Dom seems to be now the main cause of it.
He does, kind of. I honestly think. My pick here is I'm picking Rhea to win.
Yeah.
I'm picking Rhea to retain. I'm picking Rhea to be the only one with a title walking out of WrestleMania.
That's what I have a feeling too.
I think that's gonna increase the issues between them. The tension.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a heck of a match because they've only wrestled one time in NXT. And that's when the man was coming up. So we never got a finish in that. So, but I mean, this should be a fun match,
right?
And then the Rhea stories can continue. Becky will. We'll just do her, I couldn't do it kind of thing. So
Becky's Teflon. She could lose this, and it's not going to do anything to her.
Yeah.
And, I mean, honestly, Rhea right now is so hot and so over that it's not going to matter either.
The crowd's, it's going to be, cheering for her just as much as Becky.
If not more.
Yeah, because she's a baby face.
The WrestleMania crowds tend to be, like, they may cheer a little harder for Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. But, yeah, we both got it. Rhea retaining. Yep. We'll run down the order here. Intercontinental Championship match. Gunther defending against Sami Zayn, the record holder. It's been weird because on Raw, by law of beatdowns, Sami Zayn got the crap beat out of him, which means he gets redemption.
The rule of reverse momentum is what it is. Like, if you were the last one to look like a punk going into the show, then you're the one winning. That would be what you think. But this is almost LOL Cena wins or LOL Roman wins, where it's gotten to a time now where you're like, well, it's kind of hard to bet against the guy.
Yeah.
You know, that to say that he's going to lose. I do kind of feel like Sammy might be the guy, though.
Well, he did beat the Usos last year with Kevin Owens, broke the record.
Well, he had his world title match against Roman Reigns over the last year or something or whatever it was, and he lost that due to shenanigans and everything and just, the typical stuff. But so I'm almost like, this is almost like the consolation prize. Like, you didn't get to be world champion, but you're going to dethrone Gunther, which I got to tell you is a lot better than some of the rumors people have passed around online about how Gunther was going to lose the title. So there was all sorts of stuff floating around. He was going to lose it to John Cena. He was going to lose it to, I can't remember, some celebrity. Some celebrity thing. I can't remember what it was now. There was all sorts of rumors floating around people were losing their minds about.
It's weird because you still got Jason, no, not Jason Jordan.
I don't know.
No,
Chad Gable?
Chad Gable, yeah.
They look so much alike.
They were partners. Chad Gable, I don't know why I went there. The Jason Jordan. But, his involvement, because he's pushing Sammy, is this something that he can challenge Sammy afterwards?
Yeah.
Does Gunther retain and keep going? Are we going to ever hold out for a Brock-Gunther match? That's what would have happened here.
I don't know if we're ever getting that Brock-Gunther match.
Yeah, but I don't think Brock's coming back. Yeah.
I think we might be done with Brock now.
Yeah, unfortunately, because that would have been the match here, which would have been...
Oh, it would have been great. I'd have been so pumped about that, man. I'd have been so excited. But there ain't no way.
No.
Ain't no way it's happening
empty
now.
Empty arena matches, what the hell?
Yeah, that's... but, yeah.
I go with the retaining. I don't know. Sammy's story is like he's lost some of the momentum.
Right.
And it's tough because there's so many guys on Raw, and he's one of the guys that's been down low. But he's still involved, but he's
my
just not
main
hot.
Question is, if Sammy doesn't beat him here, who beats him?
Is it Chad getting it, you know?
See, and working Chad.
Are we past that?
I was going to say, working Chad into the story, and he's already had several matches against him.
Yeah.
I don't know that packs the same punch. Fans love Sammy. He's a great way to go. And I also could easily see Chad Gable turning on Sammy when it's over, after he becomes the champion, because he thinks to himself, I know I can beat you. You know,
yeah.
I couldn't get past Gunther, but now that you have the title, you know what
that
I mean?
That may be the case, or he costs him.
Or he costs him the title.
Yeah,
because
he's like,
it's not
going to
be me,
this.
It's not going to be you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could easily see that. Yeah. I could easily see either happening.
So I'm going to retain, you're going with
I'll
the
go
title
Sammy,
change.
Yeah.
All right. Six-pack tag team ladder match, and now this is for both championships.
Yes.
So
Did you notice the phrasing, by the way, when they said it?
How did they say it?
It was like they didn't say pull the belts down, blah blah blah. They said pull each pair of belts down. You know what
I
mean?
They're doing one at a time.
Yeah, well, they did it separately. So I'm like, so this isn't for the Undisputed Tag Team Championships. This is for the Raw Tag Team Championships and the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Yep, yes.
So I think we're getting two different winners out of this.
Yes. Yeah. The Judgment Day defending both titles against DIY, The Awesome Truth, A-Town Down Under, The New Day, and The New Catch Republic, which is, by the way, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, because I have to remind myself that that's who they are.
Yeah. I trying to pick a team out of this to win is difficult.
To me, Awesome Truth has to end up with...
I think Awesome Truth may win the Raw
titles. Raw, yeah. If they do the SmackDown title first, then, you know, it's like, well, there's so many options there. I mean, do you give it to New Catch Republic, you know?
I don't think they're hot enough.
I mean, do you give it to A-Town Down Under because people want to hate them? You got to do something with those guys.
What show's New Day on?
They're on Raw.
Okay, so it won't be that. Well, technically it could be. I mean, you just pull the belts down.
Did this go to SmackDown?
So I thought. So I'm wondering there is it's like does New Day win one set and like Awesome Truth win the other or something? Like I don't know. You know what I'm thinking to myself is, you know, it'd be great is if the match is happening, Judgment Day is trying to retain at least one set of belts or something, and they're you know they got help from JD McDonagh or somebody like that. Whatever. All of a sudden, baby, Big E comes out.
Yeah.
Takes care of the extra Judgment Day, whether that be JD McDonagh, Dominic, both of them maybe, and then that allows the New Day to capitalize and win the titles.
Wow.
Because he's been out for a long time.
He has.
Reports have said he's doing well, and he's you know, maybe he won't get physically involved, just chase him off or something.
He is on the pre-show.
Yeah, commentating beforehand.
So he's there.
I could see it happening. And I'm just saying it would be a good WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, all of them reuniting. All right, so that's your pick is the New Day and Awesome Truth?
That's what I'm going with.
I'm
going
to go with the Awesome Truth winning the Raw and then the SmackDown side. I'm going to go with A-Town Down Under.
Okay, this is a fair pick.
They need the heat. They need something.
I got to tell you, they will not... They will not give up on Austin Theory.
No.
And he, to me, has been one of the biggest busts they've had. I don't find him appealing at all. Crowds don't like him. And I don't mean like they boo him like, oh, we hate this guy.
Yeah.
They don't care about him. And I honestly feel like he's kind of an albatross around Waller's neck. Because Waller was getting good reactions. And Waller was doing some good stuff. Then he had that great match with Edge before Edge left. And so he was getting a little bit of credibility. Then he gets paired up with Austin Theory. I got to be honest, I stopped caring.
Well, at some point, you know, because he does always put Austin in those awkward moments where it's like Grayson's like, we're going to do this. And Austin's like, what? So I think we'll lead to some sort of split.
You're probably right.
You know, they just got to figure out, okay, who's going to, you know, are we going to try to make Austin the baby?
Right. Which one's the Marty Jannetty? Right. We got to figure this out real quick.
You know, but when he was in Australia, I mean, all, you know, Grayson was obviously in his hometown, country, you know, and you got the, you know, because notice they didn't beat him up. They beat up Austin, you know.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I gotta tell you, we could go to A-Town, we could go to Atlanta, and I bet you Austin Theory doesn't get much of a reaction.
Nah,
he'll get cheers because he's a hometown guy, but he's not getting like you know Rhea Ripley in Australia or you know anybody. Pick anybody where they're from their hometown. You're not getting those kind of reactions.
Nah.
You know.
Yeah. You got the Usos taking on each other. Third time ever, Battle of Real Brothers. Jay and Jimmy taking each other on here. You know, I see a reunion at some point down the road, not right away.
Yeah, of course,
That Jay's going to go, you know, because he mentioned family and everything else.
I don't think it'll happen until at least one of them wins a singles title.
Yeah, but I see Jay winning this match. I mean, Jimmy wins, I'll be shocked.
Here's the thing. I think Jay will win, but I think Jimmy should win because he's often thought of as the lesser brother between the two of them because he's not main event Jay Uso. He's just Jimmy Uso. And people look at him that way.
Well, yeah, I mean that is true.
And so I feel like this is almost like a Brett Owen thing, where this is his chance to come out of his brother's shadow.
Because I was shocked when Owen won that match.
Yeah, of course.
Fantastic match. One of the best Mania matches ever. And when that like happened, it's like, oh my God, anyone clean?
Yeah.
You are right. I mean, because Jimmy does need a win because he's just a lackey, basically.
He needs something to point to as something he can brag about. Because right now he's got nothing.
Yeah, other than causing Jay matches.
Yeah. So I think Jimmy needs it more, but I think you're right. I think they'll stick with Jay.
Yeah, yeah, he's the hot hand of you all. A 6-1 tag match. This came out the last couple of weeks. Bianca Belair, Naomi, Jade Cargill making her WrestleMania debut. Awesome.
Also, she has a great entrance.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I'm so into it.
Taking out Damage Control, Dakota Kai, who's healthy, thank goodness, Asuka and Kairi Sane. I don't see Damage Control winning this match.
No,
I
mean,
it's a showcase.
Win. Yeah.
It's a showcase for Jade.
Yeah, 100%. Jade's not losing her debut match at WrestleMania. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's just
And people are complaining about, you know, Bianca Belair, oh, she had title matches, this. There's only so many you can put in the scene. Once she's on the card, you know, it's like, too, Becky had the 6-1 tag match last year against Damage Control.
Yeah.
She's been
getting screen time. It's not like they did one of these, like, they're going to announce it tonight or tomorrow, where they say, oh, and we're recording this on Thursday for people who don't know. It's not like they're putting it, like, all of a sudden randomly announcing, oh, and also we're going to have 6-woman tag team action at WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah. It'll be Bianca Belair, blah, blah, blah. No, they've been building a story through this whole thing, stemming from way back when Bayley and them started up and the first person they attacked was Bianca Belair. I mean, it's a long story, and she's still in a featured slot at WrestleMania. It's not a bad spot to be in.
No, not at all. You know it's going to be a showcase. You know
she's also in the debut match for Jade, who they see as the next big thing.
Yeah.
And you know they're working towards a match between Jade and Bianca eventually.
That's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got, now we got the last
match. Oh, I'm
match
sorry. You mean the... main event of the evening. That's what you mean. You're talking about the Bloodline, which is Roman Reigns, and the final boss, The Rock.
Yes.
Which, great name, but there's also another wrestler currently using the final boss as their thing.
Samoa Joe?
Yeah. I have to stop and think to myself, I'm like, which one of y'all used it first? I got to find that out.
Somebody did that before.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But NXT, I'm just saying right now, it was the two of them. I'm like, like, which one of y'all is mooching off the other one? But in any event, and they're taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, and the idea being that if Cody and Seth win, that means that the next match, the match between Roman and Cody on night two, will be one-on-one, no interference, nothing like that. If they lose to Rock and Roman, then that means it'll be Bloodline rules, which means there are no rules.
Yeah.
So anything can happen. If you think for a second... that they're going to have a one-on-one match with nothing crazy happen on night two, you're out of your mind. That hasn't been a Roman Reigns match in the last 3 years.
No.
It's not going to happen at night two of WrestleMania. So 100% Rock and Roman are winning this match.
You have to, because you need that, like, oh, can he even beat Roman Reigns?
We need people to tune in for night two.
Yeah.
So we need them to have those questions, like you said, can he beat Roman Reigns? What are they going to throw at Cody? Is The Rock going to show up for night two as well? You know, like, there's going to be a bunch more questions and reasons to lure people in.
And the beatdown. Cody will probably bleed.
Here's
the belt.
He doesn't
Saturday.
He doesn't have to bleed on Saturday, but he has to bleed on Sunday. You can't have that vicious beatdown on a Raw or something like that, and then at the show of shows with a match with no rules where and then he doesn't. That'll be a little weird to me.
Yeah. But I see, I'm thinking maybe Saturday, because you have to give the belt to Mama Rhodes.
Right.
If she's there. I know Cody said she might be in sleeping at that point, but if she's there.
Well, you know what's funny is they could even do that before the match. Like, he's got that belt with the blood, so he could present it to her before the match even starts. He could go give it to her. And then really we get a hot start to the match. Cody suicide dive to the outside, just starts brawling with him all of a sudden. Match is underway, you know? Hot start.
That crowd's going to be hot.
Oh, they're going to be so hot. My favorite, and I want Rock to do this too, during the match, because you know he's on TKO, the board, not everybody knows that. I want him, during the match, like something happens, like he goes to get a belt or a chair or something like that, and the ref warns him not to do it, and he literally grab a mic and say, shut up, I'm your boss. He goes, now, no DQ, whatever he wants to say, you know what I mean? You can't go too far, because you don't want it to take away from night two, but like, make up rules for himself so that he can keep the match going. You know what I mean?
He hit the ref with the belt on Monday. He got the ref out.
Yeah, he did.
By the way, side note. One, why did Solo pin Seth at that point? Because it still was a Bloodline rules
match.
Yeah,
apparently it was, they ruled it a no contest or something.
And then where was Damian Priest?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. There's been some perfect times for him, and he has not taken advantage of any of them, which a lot of people speculating that could happen this weekend. But.
And I got a couple... guesses with that as well. I'm sure we all do.
So now we shift to night two.
Yeah, but Bloodline's winning night one.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right, so night two, Seth Rollins going to be recovering from his beatdown from night one, taking on Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. What a revival for Drew McIntyre.
No kidding.
Holy cow.
Dude, you know what? The best thing that could have happened to him was CM Punk comes back.
Yeah,
like, it sounds silly, but that is giving him something to dig his teeth into.
And then getting hurt because...
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. And I feel bad for Punk, but it has been great for Drew McIntyre.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, this is the best Drew we've gotten.
This is the best Drew we've gotten since he beat Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best version of him.
The man who carried WWE during the pandemic never got the credit.
Yeah.
And
what I love about the storyline, too, is that Drew has had... very legitimate complaints. Like, I understand the frustration.
Yeah.
But they had Seth counter perfectly with everybody was having a hard time during that time in the world. Your personal, I didn't get to win the title in front of a bunch of people. That's not worse than people who were dying and going through all sorts of financial issues. And, like, holy, like, it's like, have some perspective, guy. So it's like the perfect baby face logic to come back at him with. It doesn't seem like he's mocking him.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what are you talking about? And Drew has really not changed who he is in all of this. He's just given you these points that are kind of half right. You know what I mean?
He's had gripes for the last like 6 or 7 months. He just sounded like that. You know what burns my gears?
Yeah, exactly.
CM Punk and commentary during this match. Yeah. Obviously going to get involved.
Somebody was saying that they think what'll happen is the ref will take a bump somehow. And Punk will get up and take off his shirt, and he's got a ref shirt underneath, and then he'll come in and count the pin.
So I almost look at it like he's going to hit one of the guys.
With a go to sleep?
Well, or just, you know, almost like...
I don't know if his arm's healthy enough to be...
Like Undertaker, Bret Hart, 1997 SummerSlam.
Right, where
Michaels has the chair, goes to hit Bret Hart, hits Undertaker, has to count the pin.
Right.
I kind of see that situation here where he goes for McIntyre.
Yeah.
But hits Rollins.
I could see that.
And then McIntyre gets the win, you know, because of Punk. And then you have...
It'd be funny if he disqualified if he disqualified him. Because he's like, oh, you know, somebody came in and hit Seth with a chair. So you're DQ'd, Drew McIntyre, even though he's the one who did it. But I got to be honest with you. I think Drew wins the title. However this happens, I think Drew wins.
I think so. There's some shenanigans of Punk. I say I accidental hit or something else.
It gives a feud for the title when Punk comes back with Drew and... Punk, and it gives Seth a gripe against Punk too. If Punk gets involved at all, I mean, they already have heat. This would just make it nuclear heat.
Yeah.
So when he comes back, it could be either Seth versus Punk to determine who's going to challenge Drew, or Drew and Punk, and then maybe Punk wins the title, and then it becomes Seth and Punk for the title because you know you cost me this damn title. I'm gonna, you know what I mean. So either way, I see Drew walking out with the title.
Yeah, I agree with you there. LA Knight taking on AJ Styles. I'm happy for LA Knight here. And people want him in the title match. He'll get there.
He's had title matches. He's made.
I meant like an undercard title, like a U.S.
Right. I totally get that. I understand that.
But this is a high profile match. I've enjoyed the feud.
Yeah, the feud. I will say, compared to some of the other ones, has been somewhat more understated. Like, they haven't done as much with it. But it's still, I mean, it's still, there's animosity between the two guys, and they want to rip each other apart, so.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I love it. AJ flew all the way to Australia just to rob LA Knight.
Yes, I love that.
And then LA Knight go to his house, old school stuff with the cops, everything getting involved.
Right.
But it's a heat feud. I mean, I love it because it's given LA Knight a gripe, and that's why I loved about this, because it's given something for his character.
Yeah, what's so funny is, like, frequently one of my issues with wrestling, especially WWE over several years, was that they didn't have feuds that mattered outside of the title matches. They would only really invest a lot of energy in those. In the Attitude Era, you saw, for better or for worse, there's a lot of bad in the Attitude Era. Everybody get over that right now. But back then, you'd have feuds outside of the title that still had, like you said, heat to them. They were still, there was something personal they could grab onto to make this a real feud. And then that kind of fizzled out in the mid-2000s, maybe right around 2010-ish or whatever. And you just didn't see – it wasn't as well done.
Well, they had feuds, but they weren't hot.
Right.
Now they're giving
them a little bit of heat and everything. They're giving reason for these guys to have matches that aren't the title match.
Yeah.
Not just they're happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're fighting over shampoo commercials.
God.
Six-man tag match.
Oh, wait, by the way, LA Knight.
Yeah, LA Knight. Yeah. You know, like AJ passing the torch, if you will, still got it in him, but But
yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, Philadelphia street fight, the pride, as they're called now, Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford, with BFAP, by the way, with a nice refresh gimmick, taking out the final testament, Karrion Kross, and of course, the Authors of Pain with Paul Ellery and Scarlett.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. If the final testament doesn't win this, disband the group.
Yeah.
Because they've done nothing since you debuted them. And this really feels like the last hurrah for Cross and Scarlett. If this doesn't work, I don't know that they're on the roster much longer.
They'll get a cool WrestleMania entrance. That'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, it'll be a cool WrestleMania entrance.
But you brought back Paul Ellery, back the Authors of Pain.
If you're not doing anything with them, what was the point?
Yeah.
You know, so they have to win this match. If they don't, honestly, you might as well let all of them go because you clearly don't have any real plans for them.
Yeah.
It's almost like you brought them back just to have this match. And then that was it.
It is a street fight, so could be some crazy stuff. I don't see anybody else getting involved in this.
No, I don't either. There's no reason.
They need a definitive win here.
Yeah.
I mean, Lashley's fine. He's protected.
Lashley will be fine. The Street Profits will be fine.
Yeah, and those guys are in the level where, yeah, they're fine now. You know, so I agree with you on that. But it should be fun either way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably a lot of ECW chants. I'm sure there's going to be some stuff in there.
Right.
How far is Montez Ford going to jump and do something crazy?
Right.
Like he did last year at Mania. It's crazy stuff. All right. Triple Threat United States Championship match. Logan Paul defending against Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. I don't see Logan losing this year. I think he's going to retain the title.
Yeah. With the three guys, I just don't know that Logan's going to. Logan's going to drop it there.
Because the heat thing you talked about.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to. What's funny is I feel like those matches work better if a babyface loses the title than if a heel loses the title.
Yeah.
Because when the heel loses the title, you really want to see somebody stick it to the heel. And that means you beat them, you know? Whereas if it's this situation, I got two babyfaces ganged up against the one heel who most people hate anyway.
Yeah.
It's going to get a lot more heat if he wins.
Absolutely. I see Owens taking the fall here.
I don't see Randy eating the fall.
Yeah, they can move past that feud. It's been entertaining, and Kevin will move on to something else. But Logan is the heat magnet here, and the guy you love to hate.
Yeah, be mad at him all you want, but he draws eyes to the product, and he takes it seriously.
He can wrestle. That has been the biggest surprise.
The one thing I want to see is I want to see him do it on a regular basis because this is very much like, who was it? Was it Johnny, what's his name now? What does he
Johnny
go by?
Nitro?
Yeah, Nitro Mundo, whatever he goes by now.
Johnny Raw,
Johnny Impact, Dynamite. Whatever he is now. I don't know. Anyways, he did an interview with, I think, CVV recently, and he was talking to him about Logan Paul was one of the issues. I said recently, it was probably a month or two ago. And they talked about Logan Paul and how great he's been doing. And the guy was like, well, yeah, when you have over a month to practice one match and you get to work with Shawn Michaels on that match. And he's like, yeah, if I had that before every match too, people would be really impressed with what I could do. And he goes, but that's not what we do. And he was like, generally speaking, that, you know, the idea being that the guys that are really good at it go out there all the time and do it. They don't get to practice these matches like that. And I'm not knocking him for that because they've done it with other people and it's worked great.
I think the less is more approach has worked well.
I think it's worked very well too with him because he wrestles all the time. But I just mean on the sense of like he'll have to he has said he'll start being full time with WWE. I feel like he will have to be a part of every big show.
Yeah.
He can't. He doesn't have to wrestle on SmackDown and blah, 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 that and the other thing. But he does need to be a part of every big show. And they're moving that way with him.
Yeah.
But I just don't think, like, you haven't gotten everything you can out of him yet.
No, I think it's still there because you don't want to burn. Because that was a problem, like, years ago. We used to complain about Roman Reigns. It's like he needs to go away for a while or just not be on TV all the time.
Right.
The burnout. Cena, all these guys, you see him every week and they're wrestling every week and they're LOL, they win. So that's, I think, with him, you don't see him all the time. It's still fresh, still surprising.
Yeah.
And I'll take it. Logan's retaining here.
Yeah, 100%.
Women's championship match. Io Sky defending against Bayley. While I thought this feud was going to be hotter, it's not.
It's really not. It just has. I mean, the crowd loves Bayley, but they don't hate Io.
No.
And the problem there is that, and I'm gonna, you know, without trying to be mean, WWE dropped the ball on this because they were so focused on the Bayley turn, like just Bayley going face, but they never gave Io a reason for audience, like through her whole title reign, we haven't had a reason to connect with her. Because remember, through a good portion of the title reign, Bayley was causing problems. Bayley was the issue. Bayley, you know what I mean? And so it seemed like almost for a little bit that Bayley was going to turn heel. Well, turn heel. She was just going to betray Io, you know what I mean? But then they went the other direction, which is fine. But I think Bayley works great as a babyface and a heel. It's totally good. But you just they never spent the time or energy to invest in heating up Io.
No,
which is a shame because she's the women's champion.
But it kind of reminds me a lot of her like NXT reign.
Yeah.
Because she went into triple threat against Rhea and Charlotte.
Right.
Where like, you know, she didn't really do anything during her reign. I felt like like she lost more than she won.
Yeah, and it's a shame. Some people say that it probably has to do with like the language barrier or something like that, and they just don't have as much effective like stuff for her. But I sit here and think to myself, and I'm like, but you got Shinsuke Nakamura, who's in nothing feuds, and his feel hotter because he does those videos and those promos where he'll speak in Japanese and they just subtitle it.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've done the same thing with Asuka before. And, it works. You can make this work.
And they did with her, I think, at SmackDown a week ago.
They have, but they haven't done enough. Like, we really need to. Ever since Io debuted on the main roster, she's been with Damage Control and she's been lackey to Bayley, basically, until she became champion.
Yeah.
So, like, you never really gave us time to invest in why do we care about Io as an individual?
Yeah,
it was always just Damage Control.
And she's had good matches, you know, without the clunky interference or whatever else. Because was it Bianca Belair, I think she fought? Was Was it Puerto Rico? Was it Puerto Rico? Yeah, because they opened up Puerto Rico.
Yeah, might have been, yeah.
Yeah, and the crowd loved her. And I'm like, yeah, like treat her like this, have her wrestle like that. And, you know, we don't always get that because of everything else going on. I wish, like, Io would retain here. I
wish she would, too, but I don't think she's going
to. I don't think that's the case. I think this is the one woman's title change we're going to get over the weekend will be Bayley winning it.
Right, yeah.
And then she can feud with Damage Control over the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And all right.
Sounds about right.
So here we go. Last match of the evening with the stipulations. We kind of figure what they're going to be.
Yeah, okay. So the main event of the weekend. Roman Reigns, Universal Champion, taking on Cody Rhodes.
Undisputed.
And it'll probably be... Bloodline rules, that's what we're all betting on, which means everybody and their grandmother can be involved, which they will be. I absolutely foresee just about everybody we've seen involved in this getting involved in some capacity.
Yes.
And I'm holding out hope that while The Rock is out there getting involved, we're going to hear glass shatter, and Austin's going to make his way to the ring to fight off The Rock.
Well, you had, when the Cody beatdown happened, and I will say it was by accident.
Yeah.
But you saw the truck with John Cena
and
Steve Austin's picture on it.
Yep.
And like you don't just do that by accident.
I mean,
it's a little foreshadowing.
It could be foreshadowing.
But yes, Austin showing up, John Cena maybe showing up.
John Cena maybe showing up. Because, I mean, and really, there's a ton of people that Roman Reigns and the Bloodline have screwed over the last 3 years that could get involved in this match. Realistically, something else I saw, though, and like if Austin's going to be there, cool, right? I'm into that. But if Austin's not going to be there, the way I want this to go is, well, I say that and then it doesn't work because Bloodline rules. I don't know. The only other way I can see this going is if they don't have Austin, then I hope Cody and Seth win night one so they have a normal match on night two. Simply because what I'd like to happen is everybody comes out to get involved. The Bloodline comes out, but The Rock stops them because, like, no. That we said, if we lost that match, we're not, you know, this is going to be one-on-one. And then Roman holds him responsible if he loses the title, leads to a match between Roman and Rock at next WrestleMania or something.
Because
that's where they want to go. And they can do that once they get past this story. Now, the story can still happen whether he screws him over or not. He could still blame Rock for getting involved at all in this storyline. You know, like, everything was going fine until you inserted yourself in all this, you know what I mean, blah, blah, blah. But either way, what we all want... is absolute chaos and bedlam. I want both Usos involved. I want Solo involved.
You might get Seth.
You
might get Drew.
Drew in some capacity. You might get Sammy in some capacity. Yeah. But I want Austin to show up, and I want Cody to win.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Now, let me ask you this, because we didn't mention it after the Seth and Drew McIntyre match. Damian Priest at some point.
Yeah, is he going to cash in?
Is he going to cash in on the opening match? You know, because if Drew wins the title or Seth retains, and then Drew or Damian, you know, tries to win a match title there, or does he come into this match, make it a triple threat, which totally makes it a cluster F.
That would make it too much of a cluster F. I'd be annoyed by that because again, it goes back to that. No, I need Cody and Roman. One-on-one.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can have the crazy rules and everything because it fits inside of the storyline with everybody getting involved. But Damian being into that, making it a triple threat would really
We've only had one cash in at Mania, which was the greatest cash in of all time.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, so does it happen to Seth where it made, you know, the Seth retain and then Damian come in? You know, does Damian walk out with a World Heavyweight Championship or does he fail because whatever else? That's a big question. You know, it has to happen at Mania because if he misses Mania at this point, what do we wait
well,
for?
Well, when's Money in the Bank? Because he's got until then, right?
What, July, I think, something like that.
So it gives him like 2 months or three months or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know when you do it otherwise. What you could easily do is if maybe the Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins match goes down like normal, you know, maybe Seth ends up winning and then Damian Priest gets involved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something along those lines. That's entirely possible.
He's going to show up. At least he's there, I bet.
While it's all possible, I'm going to say that WrestleMania ends with Damian Priest not having a title.
I agree.
I don't know if that means he fails a cash-in or if he just doesn't cash in.
I think he fails at Mania, and that's more the demise of the Judgment Day.
Right. I could easily see Seth winning but being beat to hell the next night on Raw, and then maybe Drew attacks him again the next night, just furious. Then Priest comes out and cashes in on Raw because it would give them their big moment on the Raw after WrestleMania. I could see something like that happening.
Yeah. Maybe it's a attempt to cash in.
Because, well, remember, I mean, Judgment Day and McIntyre had a deal way back.
That is true.
It's entirely possible. Drew McIntyre comes out here, does all this damage. Then he's walking away. You hear the Judgment Day music play. He turns. Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, all of them walk out. And then he stops and looks at them all intensely. And then Rhea Ripley puts out her hands. He puts out her hands, shakes hers, and off goes Damian Priest to go in. You know what I mean? I could see that happening.
Yeah.
But that'll be the night after all. I don't think he wins a title at WrestleMania.
I don't think so. I think it's an attempt to cash in one of these moments, and he doesn't get it.
Yeah, agreed.
But if he hangs out to it, then maybe the Raw after, like you said.
Right, yeah. Well, there you go.
Do we see Dustin Rhodes show up?
I don't know.
Do we see Cody's wife show up?
I hope not. I mean, she's fine. She's a lovely person, I'm sure. She just on a wrestling show, she irritates me. That was one of my big gripes in AEW at the beginning, was they kept trying to force Brandi Rhodes down our throat as a wrestler and a performer, and she just wasn't.
Yeah, the thing with that Karma, whatever she went by.
Kong. And that was a whole nothing. And then Brandi was also terrible in the ring, so that didn't help either.
No.
I hope we don't see her. But we might. I'll be honest with you. We might see Dustin. It's really going to depend because there's also, apparently, was it Jacob Fatu or somebody signed with WWE?
Yeah.
And I think somebody from New Japan, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Signed or is rumored to be heading to WWE. One of the guys from Bullet Club, Tama Tonga.
Oh, yeah.
Who they've also talked could end up in the Bloodline. So you could have surprises like these guys showing up to help. And then you get people like Dustin and John Cena and other guys who show up to, you know what I mean? Because I could see AEW working out a deal for them to let Dustin go for a night, you know, to do it. It's Gold Dust, you know what I mean? Give him one night to do it. Yeah. Because I could see that happening. Yeah. I mean, they've worked out little arrangements before with stuff. They've allowed Daniel Bryan and Big Show to be a part of John Cena's?
The
big thing where they focused on his career.
Yeah.
They worked out stuff like that. I think it could be done, especially now that Vince isn't doing it anymore.
Well, you know, I realize we don't have a guest host for Mania because Vince is not a part of this.
So. Yeah, it's funny how that happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Cody wins.
That's my pick. Cody wins.
Because you have to at some point finish the story.
The story has to end, man.
You know, because it's like you can't, you know, you're going to SummerSlam.
I just don't know you'll get the crowd to follow him for another year.
Yeah.
They followed him for like two now.
But it's crazy because he's bigger now than he was last year.
Yes, and you're right. But I always think to myself, and yeah, you could chance doing that again and see if you can get it even hotter. But if you don't, you've wasted a white-hot moment.
You have to pull the trigger on that moment because there's been other times, when, like Luger not getting it, you know, at SummerSlam in 93. I was there.
Always,
like, hey, won by count. Okay.
Always pull the trigger before it hits the downturn. Because, like, that's, you know, if you don't do that before you get to that point, then you'll never get back up to that height.
Well, that's how I went with Sammy and the Intercontinental title. That's why I got retaining. But that's, yeah. There you go. Wow. That's a highly anticipated main event in a long time in Mania.
Yep.
I mean, last year was anticipated, but holy cow.
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun night. John, thank you.
Absolutely, dude. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for having me here.
And, you know, in our thoughts are always different on these shows, but it's fun. That's what makes wrestling wrestling.
I was going to say, that's what makes wrestling fun, man.
Yeah, because we just don't know. And you don't know anymore, really.
No, you really don't.
You know, because last year, Cody's going to win. And then
he sure did not.
I just remember.
He sure did
when
not.
When that night ended, I go, what? So. All right. There you go. Eat, Sleep, Podcast, Repeat. There you go. Our preview of WrestleMania XL 40. 1069fox.com, fm99.com. If you want to find us on the website there, go to the media tab. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, just search ESPN Wrestling. I will do my best Saturday to follow along. Sunday is easier for me because I traveled. I made plans. I was like, man, it's WrestleMania weekend. So, but ESPN 99, Facebook, and Twitter. We don't do spoilers, by the way. We just put things happen. That's always been the philosophy of us.
Right.
Because the last thing you want to see is something happening at the show, and then you haven't seen it yet, and it ticks you off. Because I know a lot of other pages and groups do that. We don't. That's always been our philosophy from day one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Even though it's, David does it most of the time now. So, yeah. Still the philosophy.
Yeah. I got to change. I don't know. People go, hey, you told me, that Bailey did this, or so-and-so showed up, and I didn't get to see it yet. So, or whatever else. Or Logan Paul's big water bottle had five people in it or something,
right.
And they were all from New Japan or something.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, by the way. But there you go. Again, thank you, Sean. And as always, everybody, make sure you eat, sleep, podcast, and...
Repeat.